Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Clinical Innovation Research Centre from the Royal College of GPs. My name is Matt Horton. I'm a GP in Clevedon and also the Medical Director of the Clinical Innovation Research Centre here in the College of GPs. I'm delighted to be joined today by Dr. Ralph Sullivan, who's the RCGP champion for Patient Online. Ralph, I wonder if you could give me an overview of this podcast.
Oh, certainly. The practices in England have a contractual requirement to offer online services to patients, that's appointments, repeat prescriptions, and record access. Practices in the other nations don't have the same contractual requirement, but the principles are the same. So we have produced this podcast to explain what we're doing with the Patient Online program at college and how practices can use that program to make sure that they can deliver these online services efficiently and safely.
So what is the Patient Online program all about?
Well, the program is funded by NHS England, and it's designed to provide guidance and standards for both GPs and practice nurses, and in fact for practice managers and all practice staff who are working with Patient Online in their everyday job. Appointments, which the system needs to be set up to present to patients, to allow them to book online, repeat prescribing systems need to be adapted, and it tells practices how they can best do this. It covers record access, explaining how and you can safely offer patients record access with confidence and with the intent of improving care in a person-centred approach to general practice. I have to say that online consultations that include video and email consultations are not included in the scope of this work.
As someone in a general practice team who is new to Patient Online, what are the components? What do I need to know about?
Well, I think that very much depends on what job you have in the practice and in what way you're working with Patient Online. It might be that you are a GP who wants to make sure that the quality of the record you're keeping is fit for sharing online. It may be that you're a practice nurse who runs a diabetic clinic who thinks that if the patients can see their laboratory tests online, then they can engage better with the care of their diabetes. It may be that you are a receptionist who is having to receive questions about how a patient can register with the practice for online services. So if you're new to the practice, you may be coming into a practice that has these systems up and running, but you need to catch up. Or it may be that you're doing something for the first time in your practice and you want to get started and to know how to do it correctly.
So who is the toolkit for?
Well, the toolkit is for anybody in the practice who has a responsibility or who works in the practice in a way that the online services influence or have an impact. We are writing guidance with nurses. We're involving a lot of other agencies from the voluntary sector, from the health service, to make sure that the guidance fits all areas of general practice and, in fact, all groups of patients as well. Take, for example, end-of-life care. We want to be sure that we are giving good advice for GPs who want to use patient access to improve their end-of-life care.
So, Ralph, if I go to the RCGP toolkit, what will I find there?
Well, you'll find that the resources are divided into different domains. For example, if you're new, you may want to go to the Getting Started area, which will summarise what you need to know as a starter for appointments, prescriptions, for record access. There are guidance documents and there are checklists that you can use to make sure the practice is covering all the issues. And there are some specific leaflets about some of the most important areas. One of the things that people are concerned about is, will they give access to the wrong person? And there you'll find information about how to verify the identity of a patient coming to you to say, can I have access to my online services? Other areas go into more detail about some of the areas where some of the concerns about risk lie. I mentioned coercion, where a patient is being potentially pressured to share access to their record unwillingly. That's something we all are concerned about, and there is some good advice there about how to minimise that risk. One very simple thing is when you register somebody, simply say, do you have any concerns at all that you may come under pressure to share your access with somebody against your will? That question and the reaction of the patient to that question can be very informative and very simple to do. And our application form, you will find a format, a template for the application form. That will actually include that question in the boxes that need to be ticked before somebody is given access. So apart from that, we move on to things like data quality, to issues around sharing access with a family member or a carer who wants access to the record or to the services in the patient's best interests, either with consent or sometimes when the patient is incapable of a giving consent, say in dementia or end-of-life care, or somebody who's very elderly and just cannot manage the interaction with the computer. And it's perfectly justified that a family member, a carer, should have access. And of course, parents, somebody with parental responsibility. So we have advice about who should be given access to a child's record and at what age it may be wise to withdraw that access. There's also information about how to avoid patients being upset or distressed by something they see in the record that takes them by surprise, something that is more scary than they expected, something that is something they disagree with, maybe an abnormal result that to a doctor or a nurse is inconsequential but could cause concern to patients. We actually have a leaflet on the website which you can use for patients. It's written for patients to help them understand why sometimes laboratory results are flagged abnormal, but your GP will not be concerned at all because they know for you that isn't a problem.
So Ralph, can you tell me how it will support my clinical care?
Well, the most useful thing is access to the records. Now, the English requirement within the contract is to provide access to the codes within the record. The codes are useful, things like immunisation, laboratory results, but there can be so much more benefit to be gained if the patient also has access to hospital letters, to hospital reports, to consultation notes, and depending on your system, you can set up access to match the needs of the patient in discussion with the patient. And of course, although with the contractual requirement in England to give coded record access, that is all historical codes, when it comes to things like hospital letters, you can do that prospectively so that the patient can see letters from the time when the record is switched on forwards, but not the historical records, which saves you one of the concerns that practices do have about the workload involved in looking at the record before you allow a patient access to the record. Because that is one of the most important things that you should do, is be aware of what the patient's going to be able to see when you switch on access for them, and make sure that there is no sensitive data in the record that might upset them because they're not aware of it, or possibly is a reference to a third party. And of course, you should not allow the patients to see confidential information that's been entered in the record about a third person. It is possible in the systems to hide that information. You do not need to delete it. You can just hide it so the patient can't see it. Now, what you're beginning to be able to do, and I could perhaps work with one or two examples here. A patient in a diabetic clinic comes along to see the nurse, has blood sample taken, and they're coming back a couple of weeks later with online access to their results and an understanding of what those results mean. The patient can look at the results before they come for their second appointment And when they arrive, they know what the results are, they know what matters to them within those results. And the discussion is so much simpler then to talk about what matters. The doctor or the nurse doesn't have to review everything, doesn't have to give a lot of information because the patient already has it. And that means that the patient's more likely to remember what was said. They're more engaged in what they're doing. It motivates them to play a part in their own care of their own diabetes. It's a fundamental building block of person-centred care.
What is the ArchGP doing to support people in general practice teams on Patient Online?
Well, apart from the toolkit, which is going to reside on the RCGP website, we are building a series of webinars on the main areas of work that we're doing this year, including diabetes and end-of-life care. We're producing a variety of other resources. This is the first of a series of podcasts that will explain about Patient Online in a different way.
How does Patient Online help patients manage their own healthcare, Ralph?
Well, up to now, over 12 million patients have been registered with their practice to book appointments and order repeat prescriptions. Well over 500,000 patients have access to their records now. Now, there's many benefits. There's clearly the convenience of being able to book appointments at any time, to request repeat prescriptions at weekends when surgeries are closed, when people aren't working themselves, and to be confident that they can accurately see what the medication is that they're taking. But what really I find interesting and beneficial is the way that having access to records engages and informs patients about their healthcare. It supports health literacy. It motivates self-care. They can see the benefits in their laboratory results, in their tests, of their own choices about looking after their own health. They can see where things aren't going so well and know where to focus their efforts. They can access care plans, letters. They can see the latest report from the hospital. And that gives them the feeling that they are part of the care. A lovely analogy I heard from a patient was that instead of being a passenger on the ship, they were now on the bridge helping to make decisions about where the boat went. And that, to me, sums things up. Of course, it's very important too to say that access for carers and for family members can make a huge difference to the end-of-life care, to somebody who's suffering from dementia. The extra support that families get from being able to interact with the record and to order prescriptions on behalf of their loved ones is terribly important.
And finally, what can practices do to help patients access Patient Online?
Well, I think the single most important thing is to give patients the right information right at the start. And we produced a leaflet, quite a long list of potential things that the practice might want to give patients information about. It can be everything from how to manage abnormal, how to interpret abnormal results when they see them online. It can be how to keep their access secure so that nobody can look over their shoulder at a computer. If they're in a library looking at their record, they don't want somebody looking after their shoulder to make sure they switch off the browser. Practical information about using it securely and safely. Understanding the implications of the data. I've mentioned abnormal results, but there's a lot of medical jargon in records, and patients may see something which they know about but don't recognise it by that name. They may see things that they didn't know they had or even don't think they have and may be upset about it. It's very important that practices tell patients that they are very happy to discuss the content of the record, because occasionally it will bring up things that patients are concerned about. And they may see things that they think are not correct. And the practices ideally should be very good at answering questions from patients. And of course, the best way to keep patients safe is to inform them, to bring them into the decision-making process, and to make sure that the records are of high quality and say what they are meant to say. The records really have to be fit for record access. Once you started on it, as a GP or a nurse, you won't necessarily know that the patient you're talking to has got record access. So when you make the records, it's a good idea to start to think patient online, to record records in the way that is suitable, which is the best thing for patients and is really important in terms of patient safety.
Thank you for listening today, and thank you, Dr. Al Sullivan, for a very informative podcast. The toolkit and podcast will be available on the Ask GP website.